Great to have you here for our fall kickoff. It's an exciting time. The kids are in school. Vacations hopefully are over, and we're anticipating an incredible fall here at CCV. The title of this new series is entitled Step Up. And I want you to know that right now, as always, but God is really blessing this church. He's blessing this church because of your faithfulness. You're serving, you're giving, you're inviting your friends, you're praying. God is honoring that, and I want to say thank you. Keep it up. God's also blessing this church because of a great staff team. We have a lot of staff that serve behind the scenes that you never see. They're doing great things. And then our team of worship leaders that go on different campuses, our teaching team with Mark and Todd, just a great team, and I'm so thankful for the team that we have on our staff. God is also blessing this church. God is also blessing this church because of our vision. We exist to win people to Christ, train believers to become disciples, and send disciples to impact the world. And as we think about trying to keep a balance of winning, training, and sending, we've got to put more energy and effort always into winning, because the older a church becomes, it naturally turns inward, because the members begin to think the church exists for them, and how are you going to meet my needs? And what's interesting is the church is the only organization in the world that does not exist for its own members. Isn't that interesting? It exists to carry out God's plan and God's purpose. Also, God is blessing this church because of our strategy. We're not trying to do a lot of things. We're trying to keep it simple because we believe less is more. And so the three strategies that we really have worked on, number one is we want to reach the man so we can reach the whole family. And I want to say to you men on all of our campuses, intentionally, we're coming after you. Just put it right out there and be right up front with you, because we believe that our culture, our city, needs more godly men that will step up and lead. And if you'll step up and lead, you're going to have a better marriage, a better family, a better business. I believe the whole culture will change. And so we strategize to reach the man so we can reach the whole family. Secondly, we want to reach the younger generation so we have a future. And that's why we have incredible youth and children's programs. And I want to say to you parents on all of our campuses, next week, if you have your kids kind of coming to the adult service, I want to encourage you to take them to the youth and children's services, because this is really geared for more adult teaching. The others geared more for their age level, and I believe they will learn a lot quicker. We have a great staff on all our campuses. You can leave them there. Trust me, they'll be there when you go to pick them up. Some of you might not go pick them up, okay? But I want to encourage you to do that, because we have a phenomenal children's ministry and youth ministry, because we want to reach the next generation. Thirdly, we want to reach our neighbors so we can change the culture. Because you see, church is not just about us coming and being in the huddle, a holy huddle, never going out and playing the game. The purpose for us coming together is realize we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. In community, we can reach this city for Jesus Christ, and we then come here to be encouraged and prayed for, that we can go out and literally be the church where we work and where we live. In January of each year, I kind of begin the year by doing a State of the Church message, and in that message, I share the goals we have for the new year and how we did fulfilling those goals in the past year. And I want to take about 5 minutes to bring you kind of up to speed on where are we in our goals for 2013. Because again, our theme for the year is Step Up. And I shared basically three or four key initiatives that we had for this year. The first one was to grow by 10% in all of our areas. We don't want to grow as a church 1 year really high percentage, the next year plateau. We believe a healthy church is going to grow consistently year after year. And so we try to grow 10%. And I'm happy to say that in our attendance, our giving, our baptisms, involvement, everything in every area, we already are trending exceeding the 10%. And I want to say thanks to all of you on all the campuses for making that happen. There's exciting things happening. For example, in the Surprise campus is running 30% ahead of last year. Let's all give it up for the Surprise campus, all right? Scottsdale campus is not a year old yet. It'll be a year old in October, and they're already planning on adding a third service next month on Saturday night to take care of the extra people that are coming to Scottsdale. So let's all give it up for the Scottsdale campus. And most churches, when they do multi-sites, The home church that starts all these other multi-sites, they decline. And the good news is, as we've given people away the Surprise campus and the Scottsdale campus, the Peoria campus is still larger than it has ever been. And so let's give it up for the Peoria campus as well. So God is doing awesome things, and it's way beyond us. We give him all the glory and honor. So we wanted to grow by 10%. The second thing that was kind of new and revolutionary for our church this year is I said we were going to begin a residency program whereby we could raise up the next generation of church leaders to really make a big impact, because in many ways, Christian colleges and universities are not kind of getting that done. And so we said, how can we as the church work together with Christian colleges and universities to raise up the best and brightest young men and young women? And so we brought in several Bible college presidents and academic deans, and we said, this is what we're thinking. They said, that's phenomenal. We'll work with you. Our goal was 25 residents that would spend a year with us. Many of them are doing it during their fourth year on our campus. Then they get their degree completion, undergraduate degree, from whichever institution they came from. And if they want to do extra work and extra reading, they can get a master's degree in 1 year while they're here. And so our goal was 25. Is God good or what? We have, this started last week, 25 that have come from all over the United States to be a part of that. These 25 residents come from 10 different Christian colleges and universities, and the next few weeks, we'll have them on stage at all of our campuses, so you can kind of see them, be praying for them and encouraging them. This has incredible potential to raise up the next generation of leaders. And thirdly, we said last year, or in January, that we wanted to start a fourth campus in the Southwest Valley, and we've been finding a location. We found one. We've been working through that, and I'm here to tell you that the timing has not gone like we thought it was going to go. We thought we'd be in there by the end of this year, but with zoning and planning and different things, there's some snags. It's moving forward, but it's going to take us longer than we thought. So we'll probably be in the Southwest Valley probably in the fall of 2014. So we said, wait a minute, God, what's going on? You know, we make these plans, and we ask you to bless them, and that's what we're doing. You ever do that? I mean, I do it all the time. Sometimes I get ahead of God. Sometimes I get behind God. But you know, when you get consistent with God's timing, man, that's a sweet spot, and that's great. And I don't always do that like I should, all right? So we were saying, God, what's the deal? We thought we were going to start a fourth campus in the Southwest Valley. A few months ago, a pastor friend of mine who's in the East Valley, a good church, started coming to our staff meetings. I've known him for 20 years, great pastor, and he was sharing the problems that they were going through the last 4 years, really major financial difficulties, and he basically came and said, hey, you're doing what we're trying to do. We can no longer afford to do this. Would you be willing to join with us, or let us join with you, and we kind of impact the valley together for Jesus Christ? And I go, wait a minute. We weren't planning on doing this, okay? Is God have a sense of humor or what? Okay, I'm going to show you a map here, and you can see it in your bullets in your program of where this location is. If you look at that, it's quite a ways from the Southwest Valley. Coming soon is where we were planning on being, and God said, "You said you're Christ Church the Valley. You really want to reach the valley? All right, trust me, we'll go for it." And so the location, it says way over in the corner, the East Valley campus, that's at the 202 and 60, okay? And so that's quite a ways away, all right? So you say, what's the deal? So they approached us, and I said, well, I'm going to have to bring this up to our elders. And so we brought it up to our elders, and we prayed. And we said, okay, God, we've always operated by faith, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the doors. We're going to move through in faith. And if you keep opening the doors, we'll keep going. If you close a door, then we'll know we're not supposed to be there. That's what I think it means to walk by faith, okay? And so that's what we decided to do. And so 30 days ago, this really began to accelerate. We prayed, met with their leadership. Their leadership said they'd be willing to step aside. They could not make the lease payments. And so they had to return the property back to the lending agency, and the lending agency then was going to sell it. And they said, we cannot continue to make the lease payments. We met with their staff. Their staff was incredible. We kept praying. Our business administrator talked to the lending agency and said, we're willing to then to renegotiate a new lease. And they said, no problem, we'd love to work with you. And so we signed a 3-year lease with an option to buy. In the meantime, the pastor stood up and told his people, this is what's going to happen. Last week, I went out and spoke to their church, and they had an excellent attendance. To tell you a little bit about this church, the church is running over 1,000 in attendance. It has a 20-acre campus, and it has an auditorium that seats over 1,000 people. And so it's really a tremendous opportunity. We have so many people that used to be a part of CCV on our different campuses that have moved to the East Valley, and they said, man, when are you coming out there? Well, we weren't planning to, but God says, I'll show you, okay? And so this is an exciting time, and so we are moving that way by faith. Now, hang on. We're a church that moves pretty fast. We have making plans to have our first service out there September 15th. That's 1 month, okay? You're clapping because you don't have to do anything. That's why you're clapping. Okay, so you're saying, wait a minute, how are you going to pull this off, okay? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, hang on, okay? Number one, here's the needs that we see before us because of the way God is blessing our ministry. Basically, we need to go to that campus because of financial difficulties. They haven't been able to do a lot of upkeep. We need to retrofit that and basically upgrade that and be prepared for, we believe, the people God's going to bring our way. That's going to cost us about $750,000 to do that. Secondly, I told you the Surprise campus has grown by 30% the past year. They're already in 5 services. They cannot continue to grow if they don't get some help. And so we've already started working with the city of Surprise, and we're going to double their worship space for next year, which would allow them to continue to reach that city for Christ. And to double the worship center from about 500 to 1,000 is going to cost us about $2 million. The third thing, the Southwest Valley. We haven't given up on that. The plans are moving along. It's just slower than we wanted them to move. And so we know we're going to need at least $2 million to also start the build out for that campus as well. And so altogether, we're going to need $5 million over and above our current ministry budget. Okay? Take a deep breath and grin. We're okay. All right? So what's our strategy? Our strategy is, in the next 30 days, we're going to have a all-out campaign, trusting God. It'll be called Step Up So That Others May Know. And our goal is, on September 7th and 8th, that weekend, from all of our campuses, we'll come together with our sacrificial gifts, and we will give $5 million on 1 weekend cash to do all this expansion to reach people for Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I know what you're thinking. What have you been smoking while you've been gone for a while? What are you doing? Is this possible? Absolutely. Because you see, you've heard some of you have heard me share the story. 15 years ago, we were meeting in Deer Valley High School. There was 1,500 people, many young families. And we said, we have a chance to buy our first property campus at Peoria, and we need $1 million cash. And that 1,500 people trusted God. We prayed for 30 days nonstop. And on 1 weekend, 1,500 people gave $1 million cash to the glory of God to buy the Peoria campus. Now, if you talk to the people that were there and a part of that, it was an incredible faith boost for our church. It was an incredible faith boost for all of us involved. The first 15 years of our church went from 0 to 1,500. Since that first time we did a miracle offering of sacrifice and trusted God, the last 15 years, our church has gone from 1,500 to over 20,000. Why? Because I really believe, as I look back at that, God said, you know what? If you trust me with everything, I'll trust you with everything. So I believe with all my heart, if 1,500 people can sacrifice and give $1 million, I believe 20,000 people can sacrifice and give $5 million. Because you see, those 1,500 gave so that all of us would have a chance to know Jesus Christ. And that's why we get the opportunity to give, so that those in the Southwest Valley and the East Valley and those coming to all of our other campuses will have a chance to know Jesus Christ. And that's a big challenge, but I want you to know I get pumped when I think of that. This is possible if every one of us on all of our campuses will pray fervently for the next 30 days, and then it's no pressure. We simply want you to pray openly and say, God, what do you want me to do? God, speak to my heart and tell me what you want me to do for my one-time sacrificial gift to reach others for Jesus Christ. Now, what's a sacrificial gift? Because the issue here is not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. And so that means a sacrificial gift, in my mind, is something that you give that makes you adjust your lifestyle. In other words, if you just give off of your surplus, that didn't really adjust anything. So I want you to think and be praying about, what can I give up, do without, change my lifestyle in order to impact this city for Jesus Christ? Second thing we're going to do is, you're going to get this when you leave all of your campuses, so hang in there. I want to make sure you get it. We've got a big puzzle, and we cut it up into pieces. And each piece says, step up so that others may know. And we want each of you to have one of these and keep it as a reminder in your Bible, your pocket, your purse, wherever you want to put it, so you can look at it every day and it's a reminder to pray for what God's going to do. We're going to pray for this city. We're going to pray for people who don't know Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll take a pen and write on the back of that the name of somebody you'd like to see come to Christ before the end of this year. And that's your prayer reminder to pray for this, but also pray for them, because it's really all about people. And so it's got to remind us that, listen, we're all needed. You don't want to be the missing piece in the puzzle. So you say, God, use me. Man, I want to be a part of this. And then the third thing, and the most important thing, is we will have 30 days of 24-hour uninterrupted prayer beginning literally this weekend. And why do we do that on all of our campuses? Because we've seen God work before, and we know God will do it again. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able. All campuses, say out loud, God is able. God
is able.
That's kind of weak. Let's try it again. God is able. God's able. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think or imagine, not on our deal, according to His power that is working within us. And we've seen God do it before, and we believe God's going to do it again. That's why we're going to pray uninterrupted for 30 days, saying, God, do another miracle among this ministry. And so how do we pray? If you would, look in your program, and you're going to see a prayer card in there. And I want you to take that home, and you fold it. You kind of fold it there, and it'll stand up the way you want. And I want you to put that on your desk, or I'd rather you put it on your kitchen table. And if you're single, married, family, whatever, use this as a prayer guide every day, if you would pray. Now, we're going to encourage you to either pray at home or pray on our campuses. We'll have prayer rooms on every campus, security provided at night, so it'll be safe. And some of you will do both, all right? But some of you are thinking, wait a minute, how in the world can I pray for an hour? It's hard for me to focus for 3 minutes during communion, all right? Been there, okay? So I want to show you how we should pray and the way that we can stay focused for quite a while. This basically comes from Matthew chapter 6, which is the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. And look how it starts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now at the side there, someplace, write the word praise. Write the word praise. Everything begins in prayer with praise. And if we're not careful, I've done it, we give God a little praise. God, thank you for today. And then we start the give me list. Are you with me? Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Wait a minute. The focus has to be on praise. That's where it all begins. Because we want to say thank you, God, instead of saying give me, God. And so we begin our prayers by thanking Him for His goodness, for eternal life, for forgiveness, to live in a free country, for our health, for the fact that we're able to even work and have a job. And you can, for on and on and on. Now, this is why praise is so important. Can you imagine what would happen Monday morning if your kids get up to go to school and they come in and you put some breakfast out for them and you hear your kids say to you, oh, Mom, I thank you so much for what you do for me. I mean, every day you prepare my breakfast, you wash the clothes, everything you do. I'm so thankful for you. I mean, you give me money, everything you do. Mom and Dad, you are awesome. We just thank you so much. You'd go, what did you watch last night while you were in bed anyway? Because if we're not careful, listen, most of our children, if they're not careful, because we live in a land of plenty where we've been blessed and we have so many things, it's easy for our children to feel what? Entitled. And therefore, they forget to be thankful because they just expect it all the time. And they forget how hard we work to provide. You know what? If we're not careful, we do the same thing with our Heavenly Father. Look at how He's provided for us. Everything we have is because of His generosity and His gracious hand. And if we're not careful, we get up every morning and we forget to say, thank you, God. We say, give me, give me, give me, give me. And it probably breaks His heart as much as it would break our heart if our children would never say thank you, but instead they would say, give me. So it begins with praise. Second word, write down the word there, priority. Priority begins with praise, and notice the priority. Circle the word name, hallowed be your name. Circle the word kingdom, your kingdom come. Circle the word your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So circle name, kingdom, and will. That's the priority. See, the priority is God's first. And the priority is we're second, right? No. Others. We exist to carry out His will and His kingdom. You see, if we're not careful, we pray and God doesn't answer our prayers. James says when you pray, you don't get your prayers answered because you ask with the wrong motives. You go, what are you talking about? Self-centered prayers cannot accomplish God-centered purposes. Wow, you know, every once in a while I say something that I even like, okay? Would you write that down? I'll go over it a couple more times. Self-centered prayers cannot accomplish God-centered purposes. Self-centered prayers cannot accomplish God-centered purposes. You say, what do you mean? How do we pray? Lord, give me a new job. I pray this job would give me plenty of money to buy a new house. I pray that I would love my job, that I'd be able to advance and take care of my family. Okay, that's good. That's a self-centered prayer. What's a God-centered purpose prayer? Lord, you know my gifts and abilities, and I pray that you would open up a job opportunity for me, that wherever you put me, it would be an opportunity for me to share my faith with a lot of people where I work that did not know Jesus Christ. That's a God-centered purpose prayer. Or if we're not careful, for our children, we pray self-centered prayers and expect God-centered purpose. We pray for our kids what? We pray you'd go to the right college, you'd make the right grades, get the right scholarship, to go to the right college, to get the right degree, to get the right job opportunity, to live happily ever after. Those are self-centered prayers. You say, well, what do you mean? Because we exist to fulfill His kingdom and His will, not our deal. When's the last time as a parent you prayed for your kids that they would be able to go to the right school, to get the right degree, that they'd be able to defend their faith and share their faith so that as they go into the real world, they'd be able to use their gifts and abilities to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so you pick the college on the basis of how it prepared them to share their faith. We don't pray that way. Or what about the homes that we look for? You ever said, Lord, I need a home, and it's up to you. Wherever you want me to make a difference, you make a great opportunity. No, we tend to buy the right home for the right neighborhood, for the right school. That's okay, don't get me wrong. But if we do all that for ourselves and then we want God to bless us, God's not going to bless us because sometimes the motives are wrong. They're all about us instead of accomplishing His will and His purpose. And so we begin with praise. It's all about God. It's not about us. Secondly, it's all about others. The priority is it's others. How do we advance His kingdom and His purpose? And I'll tell you how to pray for 30 minutes a day. You know, you pray for 30 minutes a day and it'll fly by. Just start with the ministries of our church from the nursery and pray for preschool, children, junior high school, neighborhoods, weekend worship, all these things. Just begin to pray for those one at a time and it'll take you at least 30 minutes to get through that. So begin to pray for our ministry that somehow we would not exist for ourselves, but we would bless others. Now, thirdly, okay, we've done all that. Now we're ready to pray for ourselves. So it says, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, that we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Write the word self now out there. It's okay. We thank God for what he's done. We said, God, use me to advance your kingdom and your will by what? Going to heaven and take as many people as we can. Now, we can pray for ourselves because the priority's right. Joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Well, what do we pray? First thing we pray is for provision. Give us our daily bread. Awesome. God, give me enough clothes on my back, a roof over my head, and food in the closet, a refrigerator. What do we do? If we're not careful, we ask God to provide for what we want instead of what we need. Got to be careful with that. God, give us our daily bread. If God can take care of the birds and God can take care of the lilies of the field, in Matthew it says, he can take care of us. So what we got to do is say, God, thank you for providing. Provide for me today. Secondly, we pray for what? Ooh, the ability to forgive. Whew, that's a big one. Why is it so important that you and I say, Lord, help me to forgive those, my debtors, you know, trespasses? Paraphrase the Greek, forgive those who give me the shaft. That's kind of really what it means, okay? They've wronged me. Family member, ex-spouse, boss, somebody at church, they've wronged me. Why do we have to forgive them? Because you know what? If we don't do this, we will have anxiety, depression, ulcers, bitterness. It'll ruin your life. That's why God knows the most important thing that we need to do, if we're going to be mentally healthy, spiritually healthy, we need to forgive others. You say, well, why should I? They haven't forgiven me. No, because our Lord and Savior has forgiven us. Ephesians says, forgive others, God says, as I have forgiven you in Jesus Christ. And so we say, God, I can't do this by myself. I need your help for these fractured relationships where there's some bitterness. Man, I need your help to get through that. Then thirdly, we pray for what? For protection. For protection. Now, if we're not careful, I find that a lot of families, one of the first things they pray for is protection for their kids. Lord, protect my kids. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for protecting your kids, but don't pray for that first. What are we protected from? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the protection we need. Because Pastor Mark talked last week in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, because there are spiritual forces working against us to destroy our character and our witness. And so we pray for protection so that we would watch the right things, our thoughts would be correct, we'd surround ourselves with people that build us up and not tear us down. We would, Lord, send angels to protect us. And then it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Write the word priority again. Circle the words kingdom, power, and glory. Isn't it interesting? It starts with what? It starts with praise. It goes to priority, accomplishing God's will and God's kingdom. Then it goes to ourselves, but it doesn't stop there. We go back to his kingdom again because it's all about him. There is no plan B. The Church of Jesus Christ, our job is to fulfill his kingdom. If we don't do it, it doesn't get done. And so we end up with priority and we end up with praise. God, we're going to carry out your kingdom. You're going to give us the power and we are going to give you all the glory forever. So I just want to encourage you to take this and use this as a prayer guide. And as you pray, think about that. And I believe that will help you as you work through that. Now, we believe that if this is going to happen, it's going to be through prayer. God's power working with all of us, within all of us, to accomplish his will. We're all going to step up so that others may know. I want you to watch this interview of a member on the Scottsdale campus and how he's trying to step up, and I've asked him to challenge us to step up as well. I want you to watch this. My pleasure today to get to talk to Coach Graham. Todd Graham is the ASU football coach, and he and his wife Penny are members of our church at the Scottsdale campus. And Coach, thanks for sitting down and visiting with us.
man, when you came to ASU last year, you really changed the culture. What would you say are one or two things that you did to try to change the culture at ASU?
Well, it's very simple, in my opinion. We started writing values on the board, and things like character, things like faith, discipline, sacrifice, unconditional love, those type of things. And we instilled and brought out those values in them, because every person has someone in their life that has influenced them in a very positive way. And most of those people have something in common. It's character. And you'll always find a common denominator with character. It's great faith. I wouldn't say we've completely changed the culture, but we've definitely made great progress there in making a difference in these young people's lives.
And you sure have. You know, I coached a little, you coached a lot. This idea of step up, sometimes it's easier as a coach to inspire others and hold them accountable than as ourself. You're high profile. In your spiritual growth, what would you say is the toughest area for you to step up? Has it been sharing your faith? Has it been dealing with temptation, giving? What would you say is the area that's been harder for you to step up?
You know, in this business that I'm in, it's so worldly. It's so, you get so much affirmation that really doesn't matter, and it's enjoyable. It's like, obviously, it's like sin.
Yeah.
And I think the key is being in the Word. That's probably the biggest challenge for me, is that, you know, it seems like when things are very difficult, I don't have a really hard time being in the Word. But when things are going really good, and we're competing, and you're running through that tunnel, and you're, you know, winning games and being successful, and you're experiencing success, that's when I seem to let my guard down and have the biggest challenge. And so just being in the Word, you know, just going to church is something that I used to say, that, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And, you know, my pastor would tell me, it's because you don't want to go to church. and you need to be in a church family. You need that support around you. And what I've found is, by the environment and the people that I surround myself with and the discipline, I know we're going to win here.
Right.
No matter, I don't know that we're going to beat USC or we're going to, you know, win the Pac-12. That's our goal. But I know we're going to win if we win every day and we honor God, and we can help lead these young people in their faith. And that's what I think is important.
That's awesome. So you have an incredible ministry in this university, and especially with all of these young men. And I just want to thank you as your pastor for the faithfulness of you at church and hosting a neighborhood group, being involved in that, and your generosity. You're walking the talk. I appreciate that. I see on your wristband, any challenge is one of the slogans for your team this year. And we just announced that we're going to try and impact more of the Valley and the Southwest, and also going out to the Southeast Valley, and going to try and raise $5 million on one day. And to many people, that's a huge challenge, but with God, anything's possible. Just give a word of encouragement, Coach, to our church of how we can step up and reach more people for Christ.
Well, what this speaks to, the any challenge, it talks to every person, no matter who you are, is that give your very best every single day at every single thing that you do. The greatest thing that I've learned in my life is to be a giver. And I think that's what, obviously, the Word teaches. So, you know, I encourage them to have a giving heart. And, you know, you're a giver or you're a taker. There's no in between. And so, you know, I really challenge our church to step up and make a difference. And it's happening. I can see it in this valley. And it's an exciting thing.
Pray for Coach, because he is high profile, and he and his wife Penny and their family, they are involved in Scottsdale campus. They host a neighborhood group, and they are trying to walk the talk. And so if you're an ASU fan, that's going to be easier for you to pray for him. If you're a U of A fan, you need to repent of your feelings right now, okay? But just hang in here, all right? Most important thing is, he said, we're going to win every day. We're going to win at life. And really, that's what we're doing here. We are making a difference for Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, as why are we stepping up? So that others may know. I remind you again, there's no plan B. It's the church that Jesus put all the hope of the world into. All right? Let's do this for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for this great church we're a part of. Thank you for how you're blessing on every campus. Thank you for lives that are being changed, marriages and families that are being put together. Thank you for opportunities you put before us that we weren't even expecting, God, because that stretches us. It gets us out of our comfort zone, and we have to learn to trust you and walk by faith. And that's difficult, but that's the only way we grow. So thank you for this new challenge. And I believe with all my heart that this team, this church, will step up and we will exceed this so that we can reach more people for Jesus Christ. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.